Holy Letters of the Rebbe, in volume 15, this is letter number 5534. Baruch Hashem, the 21st day of Sivan, Tavshin Yud Zayin, Brooklyn, Shalom Uvracha. And it's the Rebbe is very displeased. He was a student of the yeshiva, which went to a wedding of his sister in Israel, and he took a boat, which the Rebbe has clearly prohibited and said that it's a violation of the Shabbos to go on the boat. And that was one thing that the Rebbe was very, very strong about. And the Rebbe came out about that. And the Rebbe points out to this fellow that violating and the way you seem to take it lightly, and you don't realize the severity and what this caused. And the Rebbe goes through some very great details. Shalom Uvracha. And the Rebbe said, it is with great surprise that I read in your letter, dated the 10th of Chodesh Sivan, that your brother, Sheyichya, had a very big challenge, a big temptation, a big nisoyin. And that is what? To travel with a Jewish-owned boat on the Holy Shabbos. And the Rebbe says, why am I so surprised? I'm so surprised of your apathy, your cold spirit when you write about something that's so shocking. In other words, the way you write it, like matter of fact, he had a test. He had a challenge and he failed the test. Well, the fact the Rebbe says it's also shocking that you called this. This was a huge test for him. There was a huge challenge. The Rebbe says, if you compare this, that we're talking about desecrating the Shabbos publicly, which is equated to all the mitzvahs, to the extent that the wine of a person who violates it, and also the sheikhar, so the Rebbe said he went to the wedding, and because he did that desecration of the Shabbos, and he was present at the wedding of his sister, so he basically disqualified the wine that they used over there at the wedding. And because of what he did, and the Rebbe says, it's not like I didn't feel that the reason he wanted to be at his sister's wedding is because he was so excited to fulfill the mitzvah of Achnosas Kala, bringing in a bride, which is a mitzvah, rejoicing, bringing in the bride. I didn't sense that. So the Rebbe says it's shocking if you compare, you know, the violation publicly of desecration of the Shabbos and everything that it caused, and it. What kind of a test was it, the Rebbe says? This is not a test. And it wasn't like he was so gung-ho on performing the mitzvah of Nosos Kala. And the Rebbe says that I am sure that he himself isn't kidding himself. He's not, that because of the importance of the mitzvah of Nosos Kala, so he had such a great desire to travel specifically with the boat that travels on Shabbos to the Holy Land. The Rebbe is very, very displeased, but the Rebbe is also shocked at the way the person writes it, as if this was a challenge, a test, or something like that. So the Rebbe says, I'm saying this is an unusual, harsh letter, because I think this Rebbe is talking to a student of the yeshiva. I was talking about somebody, I guess, who should know better, should do better. And the Rebbe says, just like in all matters, that here too, what took place over here is avera gereres avera. One sin drags along with another sin. In the beginning, the Rebbe says, because of lack of courage. What does it mean, lack of courage? The Rebbe says in the parenthesis, that's strange to express like this. How could you say that you do a violation, you do a sin, because you don't have the courage? But especially, the Rebbe says, you say, oh, he didn't have the courage to violate the desecration of Shabbos publicly. Especially, the Rebbe says, you say, you didn't have the courage, the Rebbe says. But you're right, he didn't have the courage. So he wrote in a way, the Rebbe says, I told him very clearly that going on that boat is desecrating the Shabbos publicly. And therefore, the Rebbe said, you made Kiddush on the wine that is owned by the boat people, that owns the boat, the Jewish people, who are traveling by desecrating the Shabbos publicly. So their wine is prohibited to drink. You can't drink the wine of someone who publicly desecrates the Shabbos. And the Rebbe writes in the parenthesis, the supervision on this is just a big joke. It's a chuchot lula. Because the prohibition of the wine of one who desecrates the Shabbos publicly is not because it's being touched by a non-Jew. That's not the reason. And therefore, being supervising of it is just a big joke to say you supervised the wine in the boat. So it means that the wine that you drank over there was prohibited. And not only that, according to many authorities, many of the great codifiers, even if you have two seals, one within the other, doesn't help for this in the case where the wine is owned by such a person, because the wine has been prohibited already from before, so the fact that it's sealed doesn't help. Okay, so what happened? So the Rebbe says, the Rebbe is showing him how one thing led to the other. The first thing is, the Rebbe says, the wine was prohibited. Since it was prohibited, so then there's a big question, you stumbled, if wine which is prohibited, can you make a bracha on such wine? And the Rebbe says, as it's known, there is a disagreement in such kind of a prohibition. When the wine is prohibited and you're drinking it, do you even make a bracha on it? Could be that you shouldn't make a bracha and you're making a bracha in vain. But in either event, whether you should make a bracha or not, whether it was a making a bracha when you don't have to, which is making a bracha in vain, there is also an additional prohibition of Betzeya Beirech Nietz Hashem, which means if somebody steals, it's the verse, and he makes a blessing for what he stole. So let's say you steal something and then you go and make a blessing, you steal food and you make a blessing, that's not called blessing, that's called blaspheming Hashem. Nietz is getting Hashem angry, you're not blessing him. And so the Rebbe says whether you have to make a bracha or not, but you're still going to be not blessing Hashem. You're going to be menayitz, getting Hashem angry. And this brought you into another question. Maybe that night you didn't even make Kiddush because you couldn't fulfill the Kiddush with that wine. And the Rebbe says, and likewise, for sure, you either read or used in some other way the electricity that's on the boat, and that electricity on the boat, the travelers and the staff are Jewish people. So who are the ones that put the lights on? So all of the light was made for them. Even if they make it for themselves, it's prohibited for others also. Even in cases where the Rebbe says sometimes there's a leniency. Well, you put on light for one person, the other person can benefit. So if a non-Jew, for example, should put on a light for himself, then we say that another Jew can benefit, even though the guy put it, you're benefiting from it, but it's okay because he did it for himself. Same light, he didn't add anything for the Jew, that's okay. But when a Jew puts it on, so even if it's a case where light for one is a light for many, you're still not allowed to benefit from it. And then the Rebbe said, and also this dragged in further, drinking water and washing your hands. So how do they get the, when you drink the water and you use the water for hand in the boats in our days, how do they get the water? They take water from the ocean and they boil it up so that they turn the ocean water into sweet water. So from that, it understood that all the water that you use at nighttime came from the boiling from the day before. And similarly is the water that they do, that they use on the daytime, come from the water that they boil several hours before. So that means that the water, the drinkable water, the sweet water that was transformed into sweet water in the boat in the middle of the ocean, they are those that they have either been boiled at nighttime of Shabbos or the morning of Shabbos. And over here you also don't have the law of light for one, because light for everybody, because you're using it for yourself. And similar to this, you violated many other Yisurim. The Rebbe is basically going through. The Rebbe told him, don't take that boat. And the Rebbe told him, you'll be violating the Shabbos publicly. And he didn't listen to the Rebbe. And we're talking about somebody who was a religious, he was a yeshiva student, apparently. And the Rebbe is not only upset with the person that actually violated it, but the Rebbe is also upset with the person, his brother, writing about it in such a cool way that, you know, oh, he couldn't resist the temptation. So the Rebbe says, sometimes when somebody who's ignorant, so maybe this called it an accident, he didn't know. But we can't find this excuse for somebody who's a yeshiva student. For a yeshiva student to do that, there's no excuse like that. So the Rebbe is sort of going out of his way to really laying down the rule here, what happened here and how negative this was. So the Rebbe says, I imagine it's understood that you're a brother and a relative, so you're going to, at first look, you're going to see that these are very sharp expressions that the Rebbe is using here. He's using tough, very tough language. But when you will reflect even for a little bit, truthfully, you'll see that this is uncomparable to the very shocking thing what happened over here and to the darkness in which we find himself. You call this a big test? What you should really been doing is to sitting in yeshiva and learning Torah in a peaceful way, and perhaps also with purity. In the yeshiva here, he should have been sitting over here in yeshiva and learning. What did he exchange it? He exchanged it to travel to the land in which the guy eyes of to Eretz Yisrael. God's eyes are on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And he did it in a way to contrary to Mitzvah Shabbos, which is equal to all the mitzvahs. Rebbe is very, very upset for a yeshiva bocher to go openly and in a public way to disregard and to leave yeshiva and not learn and to go to a wedding which he should not have in order and to waste the time. And you call this a big test. The Rebbe says, if you even have a spark of fear of God in yourself, in your brother, Rebbe says, you should search for a wise person should give you a correction for what you've done. Perhaps, and maybe, if you push yourself in and you'll go in, it'll help you. The Rebbe ends with a bracha in the name of the Rebbe by the Rebbe's secretary. So I guess in addition to the actual violation that the Rebbe lays out, the public Chilul Shabbos, also the two think may also what, first of all, you talk about a yeshiva student, you're talking about someone the Rebbe clearly told him not to do it, and the Rebbe told him the violation. And it's also clearly what the Rebbe has ruled, that going on these boats that are Jewishly owned on Shabbos is a very clear violation of Shabbos. And still he does it. And the Rebbe is upset, but the Rebbe is also upset on the brother who writes about it, about that he sort of excuses him by calling it a sort of a big test, a challenge. He couldn't withstand it. And the Rebbe says, relative to what he did here, this, you can't call this a big test. This was a big violation. You shouldn't have done it. The Rebbe shows him how one thing dragged to another thing and all these problems that it did, all because he didn't listen, didn't care. The Rebbe says, look for a rabbi who's going to find you a way to correct this. And the Rebbe says, don't think that these are sharp words, because relative to what took place over here, these are not sharp words, because to go ahead and publicly desecrate the Shabbos, relative to that, these are not sharp words. The Rebbe says, look for a correction of that with a blessing in the name of the Rebbe. Unusually for the Rebbe to take such a strong and forceful way of giving his message, but I think because we're talking about somebody who defied the clear instruction, and because we're talking about such a serious sin, and because it was something that was very close to the Rebbe, and he knew that the Rebbe is sort of going all out to tell him really what he did.